All right, let's dive into the world of Jens Gulseth.
Okay.
This sculptor, he's really making waves with his, provocative art.
Yeah.
And we're talking way beyond ocean currents here, right?
Right.
So we're going to be unpacking the Gallery Gulseth newsletter
Okay.
that recaps the year 2024, which was his year of art
Yeah.
and activism, from his workshop in Odense, Denmark,
Okay.
all the way to the global stage.
All right.
So are you ready to get started?
Absolutely. This is not your average artist's year-end review.
Right.
This is like a peek behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see the grand projects, the day-to-day grind, and all the
Yeah.
passion that fuels it all.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive in.
Right.
The newsletter starts off with something that caught my eye right away.
Okay.
Gulseth's mini sculptures.
Huh.
You've seen his large-scale permanent installations, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, he's now using 3D printing to create miniature replicas. And get this, they're made from biodegradable cornstarch.
That is very
Pretty
cool.
cool, right?
Yeah, it's a fascinating choice, isn't
Yeah.
it? When you consider the permanence of his other works, I mean, this move towards biodegradable materials really speaks volumes about his evolving views on sustainability. Plus, it makes his art accessible
Right.
to a wider audience.
Totally.
Imagine owning a piece of a Gulseth,
Yeah.
something you can hold in your hand.
Right. It's like he's democratizing art, bringing it down to earth.
Yeah,
Literally.
literally.
But then we kind of shift gears a little bit,
Okay.
going from miniature to monumental,
Right.
literally and figuratively,
Okay.
with the 1,000 Chain Pillars project.
Right.
This came about because of Gulseth's protest against
Yeah.
China's influence in the art world and their censorship of Hong Kong artists.
It's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's important for us to understand why this matters. Even if we're not directly involved in the art world,
Right.
censorship in any form is a threat to freedom of expression. And when a government tries to control what art can be seen,
Right?
they're essentially trying to control the narrative,
Wow.
you know, to silence dissenting voices.
So is this like a global art intervention then?
Yeah, kinda.
Because these mini sculptures are meant to be placed in prominent art institutions around the world,
Yeah.
acting as silent protests
Right.
against this art washing thing. What exactly is that, by the way?
Well, art washing is essentially using art to cover up
Okay.
or distract from unethical practices or political agendas.
Gotcha.
It's putting lipstick on a pig, as they say,
Okay.
and Gulseth is calling it out,
Right.
using these mini sculptures as tiny
Right.
thorns in the side of institutions
Wow.
that may be complicit.
So he's not just making art, he's really making a statement,
Definitely.
a bold one.
Yeah.
And speaking of bold, Gulseth had a whirlwind year in 2024, exhibitions, symposiums.
Yeah.
He was even at an award ceremony for
Yeah.
former Estonian president Kaja Kallas, who won the Heroes of Democracy Award, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty
He
cool.
couldn't attend because he was ill, but still, that says something, right?
It does, yeah.
About the company he keeps.
Yeah. And this wasn't just a random string of events. There's a clear pattern here.
Okay.
Gulseth is using his art and his platform
Yeah.
to champion human rights and to challenge oppressive systems.
Yeah.
He was at the EU Parliament showing work by Hong Kong artists,
Right.
which sparked protests from China,
Yeah.
even some hate mail, according to the newsletter.
Really? Wow.
He was at a Hong Kong diaspora symposium in The Hague.
Okay.
He was at the Alliance of Democracies conference and Denmark's Folkemødet festival.
Wow.
This is a guy who walks the walk.
It's inspiring, right?
It is.
He's not just talking about these
It really
issues.
is.
He's putting himself out there,
Yeah.
using his art to spark conversations and challenge the status quo. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's not all serious activism all the time.
Right.
Right. The newsletter also talks about life at the gallery itself,
Yeah.
workshops, a residency for a Mexican painter, even creating award sculptures
Wow.
for Danish organizations.
That's great.
It sounds like a hive of activity.
It is, and I think it's important to remember that
Yeah.
this is also a business.
Oh, yeah.
These activities are what keep the lights on,
Wow.
allowing Gulseth to fund his larger projects and to continue his activism.
Right. So it's a reminder that
Yeah.
art can be both a powerful message and a viable livelihood.
Exactly. It's like a creative ecosystem where
Yeah.
the art and activism feed off each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this year also brought some sadness with the passing of Niller Manson, a documentary filmmaker who was a close friend of Gellschitz. The newsletter mentions that he had been documenting Gellschitz's work for over two decades.
That's amazing.
What an incredible legacy.
Madsen's contribution is truly invaluable.
Yeah.
Not only did he capture the evolution of Gellschitz's art and activism, but he also gave a voice to the often marginalized through his work with the local TV station.
Okay.
Odense Serret.
And that means?
Which means Odense sees red.
Okay.
A platform for leftist perspectives.
Interesting.
Yeah. The gallery even held an event.
Oh, wow.
To celebrate his work and his commitment to social justice.
That's really nice.
It's a beautiful testament to their shared passion.
It is.
Yeah.
But speaking of powerful statements.
Okay.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
All right.
Or rather, the fat sculpture in the room.
Uh-huh.
Survival of the fattest.
Right.
Gellschitz took this piece to COP29.
Okay.
The UN Climate Change Conference in Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Now, this sculpture with the large figure representing the wealthy global north, sitting atop a thin, starving figure representing the global south, is a powerful symbol of climate injustice, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's a stark and provocative image that forces you to confront the uncomfortable realities of climate change and its disproportionate impact on the developing world. The fact that he chose to bring this piece to COP29, a gathering of world leaders and policymakers, shows his commitment to using art to spark a dialogue about these crucial issues.
But it's interesting, though, because the newsletter mentions that there were some concerns.
Really?
About this sculpture being fat-shaming.
Huh.
And it was even temporarily renamed.
Wow.
Double standard.
That's interesting.
Like a whole other layer to this, isn't it?
It is. It highlights the complexities of using art to address sensitive topics.
Right.
How do you convey a powerful message without alienating or offending certain groups? It's a delicate balance.
Mm.
And Gellschitz clearly not afraid to push boundaries and spark debate.
And despite the logistical challenges of transporting this massive sculpture, they ended up creating smaller versions because of the difficulties.
Yeah.
It was a huge success.
Oh, wow.
The newsletter talks about how enthusiastically it was received, especially by attendees from developing countries. They even gave out 2,000 mini figurines.
That's a powerful image in itself.
It is.
Isn't it? Thousands of people from all over the world carrying these tiny symbols of climate injustice.
Right.
A reminder of the interconnectedness of our world and the urgent need for change.
It speaks to the power of art.
It does.
To transcend language and cultural barriers.
Yes.
To connect with people on a visceral level and inspire action.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it really is a powerful way to spread a message. And speaking of spreading the message.
Yeah.
2024 may have been a busy year, but 2025 is shaping up to be even bigger.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, first up, he's planning this bombardment of climate-themed sculptures at COP30 in Brazil.
Right.
They're still working out the logistics.
Okay.
But apparently they've already got the Brazilian Minister of Culture on board.
Now, that's impressive.
Right.
It shows how Gellschitz's leveraging his connections, his art, and even political momentum.
Right.
Remember, Denmark holds the EU presidency this year.
Oh, that's right.
To amplify the message of climate justice on a global stage.
It's like art as a form of international diplomacy.
It is.
But hold on, there's more.
Oh, wow.
They're working on this project called Talking Statues.
Okay.
Which will literally bring some of his existing works to life.
Really?
Can you imagine like walking through a city?
Yeah.
And suddenly a sculpture starts talking to you about climate change.
Wow.
Or human rights.
Mm, that would definitely be a conversation starter.
Right.
I mean, think about the impact it could have.
Yeah.
Especially if these talking statues are placed in public spaces where people might not expect to encounter such thought-provoking messages.
Right.
You know, it could really challenge people's perceptions and spark some really interesting conversations.
I know, right? It's like blurring the lines between art and reality.
Yeah.
Makes you question everything you thought you knew.
Right.
And then, of course, the newsletter mentions two massive new sculptures that will be unveiled in 2025.
Right.
They're keeping the details under wraps for now. But it's got me on the edge of my seat.
That's Gellschitz for you.
Yeah.
Always keeping us guessing.
Right.
But that element of mystery is part of his appeal.
It is.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It keeps people engaged and wanting to learn more.
Totally. It's like this slow-burning reveal.
Yeah.
Building anticipation
mm-hmm.
for the next chapter in his artistic journey.
And I think that's a great way to think about Gelschut's career. It's an ongoing journey.
Yeah.
A constant evolution of ideas and expressions.
Absolutely. So now that we've kind of explored all the different facets of Gelschut's year, from the miniature to the monumental, the playful to the political, what do you think are the key takeaways for you?
Well, I think it's clear that art can be a powerful force for activism.
Yeah.
You know, Gelschut shows us that art isn't just about aesthetics.
Uh-huh.
It can be a tool for social and political change. It can spark dialogue, challenge assumptions, and inspire action.
Yeah, and his work definitely sparks a lot of dialogue.
It does.
But I'm also struck by, like, the global impact of his work.
Right.
I mean, here's this artist based in Denmark, but his work is resonating around the world, influencing conversations about climate change, human rights, freedom of expression.
And it all stems from a single individual's passion and commitment.
Right.
You know, it reminds us that we all have a voice and we can use it to champion the causes we believe in.
Yeah.
Gelschut's story is a powerful example.
It is.
Of what's possible when you combine creativity, passion, and a desire to make a difference.
Exactly. So with that in mind, what role do you think art should play?
Oh, that's a good question.
In addressing social and political issues.
Yeah.
What's its responsibility, if any?
That's a great question. And I think it's one that each of us has to answer for ourselves.
Right.
But I do believe that art has the power to open our minds, to challenge our perspectives, and to help us see the world in new ways.
Yeah, and sometimes seeing the world in a new way can really be the catalyst for change.
Exactly.
I mean, Gelschut's work certainly does that.
Yeah.
It makes you think, it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And sometimes it even makes you a little uncomfortable.
It does, and that's the power of art, isn't it? It can hold up a mirror to society.
Yeah.
Forcing us to confront uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
And Gelschut's work often does exactly that.
Right.
It challenges us to look beyond the surface and engage with complex issues in a really meaningful way.
Like survival of the fattest.
Right. Absolutely.
That sparked some real debate, which I think is a good thing.
It is.
It means people are engaging with the issue.
Yeah.
Thinking critically about the message.
Right. And even if people disagree with the message or the way that it's presented, it's still sparking a conversation, you know, raising awareness. That in itself is a form of progress.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Gelschut's whirlwind year, I want to leave you with this. Remember those two massive new sculptures he's working on?
Yeah.
The ones shrouded in mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a feeling they're going to be even more provocative.
Yeah.
Even more challenging than anything we've seen from him before.
Oh, I wouldn't expect anything less.
Right.
Gelschut thrives on pushing boundaries.
Yeah.
On making us think differently.
Right.
He's not afraid to ruffle some feathers.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him such a compelling artist.
So keep an eye out for those new sculptures.
Definitely.
You won't want to miss them.
No.
And in the meantime, why not check out the Gallery Gelschut website?
Great idea.
You can see images of his work, learn more about his projects, maybe even plan a visit to Odense if you're feeling adventurous.
It's a fascinating journey into the mind of an artist who's using his creativity to make a real difference in the world.
Absolutely.
And who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe Gelschut's story will inspire you to unleash your own creative potential, to find your own voice, and to use it to champion the causes you believe in.
Because you don't have to be a world-renowned sculptor.
No.
To make a statement, right? Art can take many forms.
Uh-huh.
A poem, a song, a photograph, a dance.
Yeah.
It's all about expressing yourself and connecting with others.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe someday we'll be doing a deep dive into your creative endeavors.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would.
But until then,
keep
exploring, keep creating, and keep diving deep.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.